Your testimony is also building in the fellowship set in all these things. Supposedly, all the people that I testify, the Spirit is very present here. Things are happening, and individuals at least are experiencing the presence and even the call of God to them in their life. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the presence of the Spirit here this morning, moving from life to life, touching individuals, calling and releasing destiny into the hearts of your people. We thank you for this, we welcome your presence. We ask you now to open your word to us, to reach into our lives, and to apply this word, so that we may be encouraged, emboldened, and moved with your Spirit. So come now, may the words of my mouth and the reflections of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. The Lord will strengthen our Redeemer.
Amen.
Church has reached the limit of expectation. Church has reached the limit of expectation. That was the word that came to me recently when thinking once again about why the Saviour has yet to see a significant move of God, an outpouring. There have been times when we have come close in this area. Recently, such as between 2011 and 2013, there was a real sense of the Spirit building and God about to move. But however, no significant or lasting breakthrough has happened. That last time period when it appeared to come very close, there was also a sense towards the end of that that the Saviour just shrugged his shoulders and said, so what? And so God left. Or didn't believe, but the Spirit withdrew. Church has reached the limit of expectation. Or to turn that around, it's time now to go beyond our expectations of God, and certainly our expectations of what we can do in the power of the Spirit. What I believe God was saying in that word about limit of expectations is that all good things were happening in many congregations, and we're talking here about church in general, not a specific congregation. There was no longer a firm belief within the church that a move of the Holy Spirit could ever happen. They had become closed, but it never really happened. Church had become comfortable with the way things were. The church no longer expected a significant encounter with God. Church had reached the limit of expectation. Now, just as I was processing that work and working through it over the last few weeks, well, there came within at least 2 days of receiving that word, a daily prophetic word from Global Prophetic Association. The daily line writes that go out to a very wide community, giving an encouraging word or a challenging word, a thought for the day. So this daily work, this prophetic work, was about the law. It came within a day or 2 days of that work that I received. So it's about the law. It told the story, and I'm summarizing here. I'm not going to quote word for word what was written in that work. But it told the story of a community of God's people traveling with him. And to one day they encounter a large wall of rock. No way over, through, around, or even under this massive wall of rock. So they made a gap and they began to think about this. Frame that gap became a settlement, became a settled community. Many forgot about joining with God. Many forgot about this wall of rock that was there. In fact, you could no longer see it. Some, only a few, did venture out from time to time to try and climb the rock face, but only to fail to make progress, ending up exhausted, disappointed, and doubting if a way was possible. In time, a few did set off to carefully explore the base of the rock face. They found the narrow gap that had been there all the time. They went through, they went beyond, they continued to journey with God into new things. That prophetic challenge to the church to continue to journey with God, to find a way through with God when things seem stuck and settled and not happening, well, that resonated with me. It was, for me, another version of church has reached the limit of expectation. So how does that connect with scripture? As I reflected on what had come to me, I received the words, Kadesh. Kadesh, where they did not expect God to deliver. Kadesh, where they did not expect God to deliver. So God brought me quickly to Numbers 14, 27 to 28, where, having reached the border of the land promised to them, God's people hear the report of spies they had sent into the land to explore it and report by it. Numbers 14:27-28. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. So they say, yes, God is delivering us the land that he really did promise, and it is as he had promised, but hold on, it's so heavily defended. And then just to embellish the story, if you like, there's even giants there. We really can't go into this land. There'll be giants. Verse 30 of chapter 14. Then Caleb summoned the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But then the spies continue with their negative report, emphasizing just how impossible this could be. And at this point, we have open rebellion within the camp. Numbers 14 opens with these words. Numbers 14 in verse 1. That night all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. That had been their cry almost from the moment when God had brought them out of Egypt. They had mourned and grumbled and even rebelled on their way through the desert to this point. Mourning and grumbling has become a way of life. And we want to go back to Egypt has become a default response to God. Yet they have witnessed the power of God and have forgotten much. They have forgotten how God had taken down the gods of Egypt in order to set them free. Forgotten how he had parted the sea and defeated the pursuing chariots and army of Egypt. They were forgetting the miraculous provision of food in the wilderness. They ignored the presence of God in the camp at the tent of meeting. In their thinking, they remained an enslaved people who preferred the forced labor of Egypt to God's promise of a land of their own. So here they were on the border of this land. The spies have reported that it is indeed as God had said it would be. But between them and this land, there's not only two people groups and some territory to conquer, the land itself has to be conquered. And they do not expect God to deliver them into the land of promise. No expectation of God. All they could see were the obstacles and not the opportunities. So Moses and Aaron, together with Joshua and Caleb, appealed to the people in an attitude of grief and lament. It's summed up in Numbers 14:9. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord is with us. Yeah, but we want to go back to Egypt. The people of disciples tried to stone them to death. God intervenes quite dramatically, for the glory cloud appears at the entrance of the tent of meeting. The outcome of the to and fro of Moses then interceding with God is that the people will wander for 40 years and not enter the land. The promise now goes to the descendants. Just think of the horror of that. 40 years in which they're not going back to Egypt and they're not going forward into the land. 40 years to wander in the wilderness with God until they die out in the desert. And then the promise will go to the next generation and the generations after that. Immediately on hearing this, God's people confess their sin and commit to going forward with God. They know what God has just said over them. They know what's coming forward now. So they decide, yeah, okay, we're going to take the land now. There is no sign of repentance. They now want to go where God is not leading. And attempt to go forward without Moses and the Ark of the Covenant, the sign of the presence of God. All that move forward into the land leads to a crushing defeat. It will be for a new generation to take the land in God's timing. Kadesh Barnea would mark the southern border of the land God had given them. But this rebellious generation will not live to see that. And our captain, perhaps, not of limit of expectation, but more one of no expectation. Despite the signs, wonders, and miracles, with the presence of God in the camp and obvious, the people of God wanted to return to the enslavement in Egypt. When God's people no longer take the step of God, no longer see the signs, wonders, miracles presence of God, they are not wandering in the desert. And Moses also refused the right of entry to the land. For God's people would come around to Kadesh many times on their wandering in the wilderness. It was a place where water was usually plentiful. But in one time coming there, they found there was no water. So God instructs Moses how to get water from a rock. When Moses, under pressure from the people, who were yet again crying out for a return to Egypt, when Moses goes beyond what God has instructed him to do, out of frustration. So Moses loses the right to enter the land because he had disobeyed God, because he had taken away from God the miraculous provision by going beyond what God had asked him to do. Numbers 20 verse 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Limited or no expectation among God's people of God moving to bless and protect them. So what are we to take from this word from God? How are we to understand and apply God's word of limit of expectation? Well, firstly, we must always be a people of God that does not wait for God to do for what we've been called, equipped, and empowered to do. If God has called us to do something, then we've got to stand back and say, okay, God, get done with it. Or, okay, God, we would rather just stay here for the moment. And God calls us to move, to step out, to release gifts and ministries. We have to go immediately. Never lagging behind God. Never getting ahead of God, as Moses did. Always in step with God. I'm reminded of that passage in Joshua 5, where God's people eventually crossed into the promised land. Joshua 5, 15 to 17. 5, 15 to 17 in Joshua. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from the stream stopped flowing. So the people crossed over. No disobedience that time. No limit of expectation. No wanting to go back to Egypt. They broke camp as instructed. They walked right to the limit of where they could go. And then carried on because of the promise of God that they would take the land. So firstly, always in step with God, never behind, never getting ahead, always in step. Secondly, to see the waiting time as a preparation time, as a future focus time, that one day God will tell us to move and we should be ready to go. A waiting time in which expectations are raised, not diminished. I have no doubt that during those 40 years of wandering, those who eventually inherit the land were trained and prepared to take the land by the older generation. A time of training and preparation in order to be ready to move. So something that doesn't mean each generation should be invested in the generations coming after them. Investment in others is not an optional extra. It's a requirement of being ready to move when the Spirit moves us. And as we've been reminded again this morning, we've had many testimonies lately. That's part of building expectation. God is doing a work among us. He's causing testimony to rise up because he wants the expectations to rise. He's reminding us of what he can do for his people. And as reflected in all of this, the Lord also brought me to think afresh on those familiar words in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. It is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach maturity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we're reflecting on that, praying over that, listening to what God has to say afresh on that. The first thing that came to me is that in order to keep on track with God and keep in step with God, so that we may achieve breakthrough, the main function of the prophets is to release strategy for the way forward. The prophets keep church in step with God and release strategy for the way forward. They encourage the people of God through words of knowledge, identify gifts and calling, and building up the body of Christ. The task of the apostolic calling is to implement the strategy that God has released through the prophetic, and again with the prophetic, to release the gifts of God's people. And evangelists, so the apostles and the prophetic, working together as people come in to get the word of the world and into the kingdom, to help them understand their gifts and their calling of God. The task of the evangelist is to extend the community of God's people through presenting the gospel to the unsaved. And together with the prophetic and the apostolic, the evangelists reveal God to the unsaved through healings, through miracles, through God's work in their lives. And pastors and teachers explain from Scripture what God is doing among his people. They add depth to what has come from God in the strategies and in the prophetic. They encourage and train and equip new believers, but they build up also the body of Christ so that we can keep in step with God. And in all of that, there's a strong sense, although it's not explicit in Ephesians, strong sense of this move of God will involve those who need worship. And God is saying to me that some of the worship will become increasingly connected to the prophetic, more so than to evangelism. The worship will become prophetic, and the Spirit will move increasingly as we worship. In a sense that God is saying it's time to refresh and release this sense of the fivefold ministry until it gives us fresh understanding. So what are your expectations this morning? Have you or I, perhaps without really knowing it, placed the limits upon them? We hear of words coming from the wider church, or so-called silent revival, news of a spirit maybe amongst youth and young adults. Is it time now to lean into this? To get into contact with God, to keep in step with God? Or is it season to begin to accelerate so that we may catch up with God? Has church really reached the limit of our expectation? Or this work that God has released, they were sent to church. Death is dead. It's time to break down. It's time to go forward and go right to the limit. And then the next steps go really good. Amen. And thanks be to God for his work to us and may he give us clear understanding.